أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at Suratul Baqarah and its 9 sections. And so far we've looked at 2 sections. So the first section was the 3 classes in Baqarah Learning Institution. And the 3 classes were the Muttaqeen, the Kuffar, and the Munafiqun. In other words, those who protected themselves from anything that would stop them from reaching their full potential, their personal best. Then we had those who rejected guidance completely. And then we had the Munafiqun, whom Allah spends the most time on, who in essence pretended to accept guidance. So simplistically, there is a group that accepts guidance, there is a group that rejects guidance, and then there's a group that pretends to accept guidance. And all three, in essence, are the children of Adam. They're known as Banu Adam. In the second section, we see the director of this learning institution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling us about it. He tells us to take up the full-time course at this institution, no part-timers. He says there is no competing institution to match. You have provision and protection here. He challenges us that there is no learning institution that has a teaching like this one. And he says you will never be able to find one. And if you take an alternate, that will lead to confusion in the world and torment in the hereafter. He tells us that if you take on this learning course, then you will find Jannah on earth and in the Akhirah. He guarantees it. The learning is all student-centric. And he's not embarrassed to give any sort of example, even that of a mosquito. The one who will challenge this learning is one whom he calls a fasik. And he gives us 3 different attributes of a fasik. And then he says, I am your manufacturer. I have made you. So obviously, my instruction booklet is the one that you should follow to reach your full potential. And he talks about the circle of life. You are inanimate, dead. Then I brought you to life. Then you will die again. And then I will resurrect you again and bring you back to me. And finally he says, the resources of the world are for all human beings. And he talks about the 7 heavens. So in other words, he's saying that this learning institution covers all aspects of life. Now we come to the 3rd section. And here we look at the first student of this institution. The first human being, Adam alayhi salam. The human being in nature, it's a natural thing to desire knowledge of our origins. We want to know why we were destined to be born in this world, only to die later. And here lies the story of creation. So we will look at these ayat 30 to 39 as a sketch or a play. And this sketch has 2 acts. The first act has 5 scenes, and it covers ayah 30 to 34. The second act has 5 scenes again, and it covers ayah 35 to 39. So let me introduce you to the cast of Act 1. Center stage is divinity himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this particular act, he has 3 attributes. Rabb, the Lord, the Master, the Cherisher, Nourisher, Sustainer. Al-Alim, the All-Knowing, and Al-Hakim, the Wise. Then we have the Malaika, the Angels, entities which have no choice in the course set for them under the laws of creation. They're single-minded in obedience to Allah. They are in constant praise, constant hamd, which is praise and gratitude, and they declare His perfection. They sanctify Him. Then we have the human being. The human being, insan, limitless potential for creativity and destruction, obedience and disobedience, belief and denial. And Allah calls him Khalifa. Khalifa in essence means one who is left behind, a representative, almost an ambassador, someone who is empowered to act in the apparent absence of the controller. And the human being in question is Adam. It actually comes from the word adim, which is dust on the surface of the earth. The first human being, an awesome messenger, taught all knowledge, comprehensive knowledge. has the ability to discriminate between Rahmaniyat and Shaitaniyat. And finally, Iblis. Now the word Iblis comes from Ablasa, which is to be overcome with grief and despair. He is in essence a jinn in charge of the angels, a worshipper of divinity for centuries, if there was such a thing as time, which there wasn't. He is very arrogant, very proud of being a worshipper of Allah, wishes to be recognized as one. And he becomes shaitan. This comes from shatana, to be stubborn, to be outcast from the mainstream. Now we know the cast. Let's look and go into Act 1, Scene 1. So Allah makes a statement to the angels. He says, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I will be placing a khalifa, a representative, in the earth. The angels, with their limited potential, only the potential to obedience, not disobedience, see the possibility of chaos arising from an entity that can choose between good and evil, and they question his decision. They say, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Will you place in the earth one who causes corruption and will spill blood? We already praise you and declare your perfection. And divinity replies, surely I know what you do not know. Possibly implying that the potential of the human being is limitless. Now the answer is followed by an action in scene 2. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَّمَ عَادَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And the words al-asma kullaha denotes comprehensive knowledge, the knowledge of absolutely everything. Allama Tabatabai in al-Mizan quotes a hadith where Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam was asked about the words of Allah in this particular ayah. And he said that Allah taught him the knowledge of the earth, the mountains, the canyons and the valleys. Then he looked at the rug which he sat upon and said, and this rug is amongst the things which he taught him. Which means all knowledge of the attributes and actions in creation. And remember, names in essence is really nouns. And the origin of all language is based on nouns, is based on terminology. And within that knowledge is the innate ability to discriminate between right and wrong. So the Adamic creation contains within itself a built-in direction finder, a built-in sat-nav that enables it to navigate directly towards Allah. Having done that, he says, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِيُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So he presents them to the angels and he says, inform me of this knowledge, of these names, if you are truthful. And in the next scene, we see, this ayah 32, the angels are gobsmacked, absolutely amazed. The challenge is way beyond their capabilities. And they go, wow! قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ. We declare your perfection. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are all-knowing and you are all-wise. They admit to the limited ability and knowledge and awareness that they have. In scene 4, in ayah 33, Allah asks Adam to reveal his knowledge to the angels. قَالَ يَا عَدَمُ أَنْبِئَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. And the angels become content with the proof of the absolute wisdom, power and mercy of Allah. And then Allah says, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Did I not say to you that I know what is hidden in the heavens and the earth? وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And I know what you make manifest and what you hide. So what were the angels hiding? Or if I paraphrase it, what was hidden in the angels? This points subtly to the existence of one amongst them that would not be obedient to divinity. So he's talking about Shaitan or Iblis hidden amongst their ranks. Now let's see how he's exposed. So in scene 5, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. And we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam. The angels prostrated, they did sajda in obedience to Allah and in acknowledgement of the superiority of this new creation. Illa Iblis, except for Iblis. Aba, he refused. Wastakbara, he wanted to be recognized as great. See, takabbar is to be big. Istakbara is want to be recognized as big or want to be recognized as great. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ And he was one of those who covered up the truth. But let's ask ourselves a question. What did he want to be recognized as? Did he want to be Khalifa? What is the role of the Khalifa on the earth? The role of the Khalifa on the earth is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be able to become an example for others to do the same. Well, we know that Iblis was already a worshipper of Allah for many, 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 many moons. So this boiled down to wanting to be recognized for his worshipping of Allah. He wanted to be called great and couldn't stand the fact that a creation that had just been created was being given greatness. And this is true of us today too. We want to be recognized as the best reciter, as the best lecturer, as the best volunteer. And as long as the I, the ego, raises its head, then it limits our potential. So three major lessons from here. The human being has limitless potential. If this potential is manifested, then even the angels are in awe of the human being. And that which limits the human being's potential is the I, the ego. As long as the human being continues to say I, without the recognition that he has only come to journey back to his essence, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, then trouble is the inevitable result. The limiting of his potential is what's going to happen. And you and I were created to have limitless potential. Inshallah, more tomorrow.